Good morning. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. One of the saddest things I've ever witnessed is a Christian losing their joy. That is a sad thing. When we don't have joy in our hearts, when we've lost all that joy that God gives us. Jesus promised us that joy. He promised us the joy of being a Christian would surpass anything the world could give us. And it is sad to see a Christian lose their joy. I'm not talking about a person becoming sad over a bad experience, but about a person that once knew the joyful satisfaction of being in a relationship with God and then losing that joy. That, my friend, is a sad situation when a person loses their joy. When Paul first went to the Galatian Christians, they experienced that joy that God gave them and that only could come from knowing Christ as their Savior. They had great joy at one time, but they lost that joy. The joy that is derived from knowing that your sins are forgiven, that your life has purpose and meaning, and that you are destined for heaven. But something happened to these Christians that resulted in them leaving their joy behind. Legalists had influenced them to turn back to their old ways. They had led them in a path of going back to the Jewish way of living instead of what Christ would have them to live. Unfortunately, what happened to the Galatians has been repeated time and again throughout history in the church. The legalists moved into town with the rules and regulations and rob us of the joy that God has given to us. I don't know where you are today, but maybe you find yourself in the situation where you have lost your joy. I hope none of us here have lost our joy that we got once we gave our heart to Christ. But many Christians have lost their joy. They've lost that joy of knowing that God is with them every day. They've lost that joy of knowing that God has saved their soul. They lose that joy of knowing that they have a home in heaven when they die. That joy is something that surpasses any joy the world has to offer. Once you knew the joy of the Lord, once you were experiencing grace, but you have been influenced by those that would rob your joy if you let them. Today I want to try to help you get back on track by looking at what Paul had to say to the Galatian churches. Galatians chapter 4, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 12 through 19. Paul says, "Brethren, I beseech you, but as I am, for I am as ye were and as you are, ye have not injured me at all. You know how through the infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where there is then the blessedness you speak of, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And I am therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, And not only when I am present with you, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the words that the Apostle Paul wrote here in showing that the Galatian church had fallen back and that Paul was trying to restore that joy in their hearts by bringing this word to them. And we pray, God, that if there's anyone here that has lost their joy of being a Christian, that through your word today, we might experience a renewed joy and a renewed hope in being a Christian. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
First, we want to look at joy expressed. Look in Galatians 4, 12 through 14. Paul says, "Brethren, I beseech you, but as I am, for I am as you are, ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Now, although the Galatians were now entrapped by legalism, they had not always been the case. There were three specific ways the Galatians had expressed their joy. Number one, through acceptance. When Paul had first come to the Galatian church, he preached to them. He had become like them. He had put aside the Jewish roots and became like a Gentile. He was free from the law and taught them to live the same way. They accepted Paul and his message of grace. They were more than willing to hear the gospel news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were receptive to both the message and the messenger. These Galatians that were Jews at first and were Gentiles mixed in with them, Paul said, "I was like you were at one time. I was like you were, and at one time you accepted me. You accepted me as your brother. You accepted me like Jesus Christ. You accepted me in every way." The joy of salvation is always expressed through openness to the truth. Grace-filled believers take no greater satisfaction than in learning something new from the Lord and that they hadn't been aware of before. In a testimony about God's love, God's forgiveness, his teachings is always accepted with open arms. This Galatian church had once accepted the word of God. They had once given their heart to Christ. But what had happened to them? They had fallen back because these legalists had came in with all the rules and regulations. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this in order to please God. They had come in and taught them the wrong way to be a Christian. They had come in and reversed everything Paul had taught them, how to have joy in God. Now, the second way they had accepted Paul is through compassion. When Paul first came to the Galatian Christians, he was seriously ill. Notice what he said in verse 14. "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Paul was very ill at this time. He had a serious illness in his flesh. Notice what he says. The term, "you did not despise me nor reject me," literally is translated, "you did not spit at me or spit on me, even though you should have." Paul said, "You didn't reject me, you accepted me. You accepted me just as I am. They had accepted him even though he was ill. In the ancient world, there was a superstition that when you came into contact with an epileptic, you would spit to avoid the influence of the evil spirit they believed caused the disease. Because of this, some had assumed Paul might have epilepsy. Whatever the case, he was very sick, yet the Galatians, instead of turning him away, treated him as if he were Jesus Christ himself. Their life of grace enabled them to minister to the unlovely and the outcast, and to do it with all joy given them as a direct result of the relationship with Christ. The third way they accepted Paul was through accessibility. In today's terminology, we might say that the Galatians were user-friendly people. Not only did they accept Paul and his message and minister to his physical needs, it is obvious from the entire tone of this letter that they opened up their lives to him. These Galatian people were willing to take Paul, even though he was deathly sick. They accepted him as one of their own. They accepted him as a child of God. Paul is not only upset that they rejected the gospel that they had once brought them such joy, but that they had rejected their relationship with him. Listen, when we understand and live out the grace that God has offered to us, we express that grace through an open and accommodating relationship with the people around us. Our lives become intertwined in the faith that we share, but that shared faith extends outside the church building into each other's lives. We are not only united in our belief system and in our shared destiny, but we are also united as one family dedicated to God and living out the grace that God has given to each one of us. Amen. Listen, Paul had accessibility. They had accessed him. They had brought him in. But Paul realized there was something wrong in the church. He could sense it. He sensed that there was something that had happened to these Galatian people that shouldn't have happened. They had fallen back into their old lifestyles. They had fallen back into the ways that God would not intend to live. There are three ways that grace is expressed, taken right from our text. There are many more that we can list. The point is to notice is that one time the Galatians were filled with the joy and grace that God, that Paul preached. Unfortunately, when the legalists came in and came on the scene, that was no longer the case. We see, secondly, joy stolen. Verses 15 through 17. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eye and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. Notice what Paul said. Where is that blessedness that you once had? Where is that joy you once had? They allowed these legalists to come in and change their life. They allowed these legalists to come in and bring all these rules and all these requirements of the law to try to entrap them once again. Do you see the personal tone here that I mentioned before? Where is then that blessedness you speak of? What happened to you? And is your relationship to the Lord and your relationship to me? At one time, you would have done anything for me, Paul says, but now you turn your back on me and my message. The fact of the matter is, neither the message nor the messenger have changed. What has changed is who now holds the keys to your influence.
Right.
That is what we see in our world today. We see the world being influenced. Many Christians are being influenced by the world. They're being influenced by what the politicians say, all the lies they're being told. They're being influenced by people that do not have their best interests at heart. God always has our best interests at heart. God always has the joy there available if we've lost our joy. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us not to have our joy stolen by these people that are so influential in our lives that try to steal our joy. And this is the same with us today. You first hear of Christ and you accept Him as your Savior. You're filled with the joy of grace that God has given each one of you. Unfortunately, it probably wouldn't be long before someone tries to take that joy away from you by doing like the legalists of Galatia did. Let's look at how legalism robs us of joy so that we can be better prepared to not let it happen to us. How legalism robs us of our joy. That's what we're going to talk about. They emphasize negative over the positive. I can give you 5-minute conversation with you and know if you're being influenced by legalism or not. How? By paying close attention to what you emphasize about your Christian faith. Legalists always focus on the negative. In other words, they're always talking about the don'ts instead of the do's. That's the way a legalist operates. Their favorite part of the Bible is the Ten Commandments, not the Beatitudes. They would rather talk about punishment than blessing. They have been programmed to focus on the negative to the point that they have lost the joy of their salvation that God has given them. When I hear all the don't do this and don't do that, rather than being affirmed in my faith, I will eventually forget about the joy altogether. Secondly, they focus on guilt instead of forgiveness. Listen, we all are guilty, but God does not want us to focus on our guiltiness. He wants us to focus on forgiveness.
Amen.
We can all lose that guiltiness by giving our hearts to Jesus. We no longer are guilty. We no longer need to be guilty. The legalist believes that the only way anyone will obey God is if they are made to feel guilty about every sin they have ever committed, even the ones committed prior to the salvation experience. Legalists always focus on how far we fall short rather than how far we've come in our walk with Christ. They're always telling you, you're not what God would have you to be. You're not what God intended you to be. You need to be better. They want you to feel guilty. They're always trying to tell people they need to be better than they are. The person living in the joy of grace understands that we obey God out of gratitude for what He has done for us and because we love Him. If you're a parent, would you rather have your children obey you because they would feel guilty if they didn't, or because they desired to please you? I believe all of us would pick the latter. When we have the joy of grace, we obey God precisely because He has removed our guilt and we want to please Him. David says this, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David realized that he did not have to feel guilty about his sin with Bathsheba. He realized he didn't have to feel guilty about the murder of her husband. He realized he didn't need to feel guilty because God had forgiven him. That's the same way we need to be. We need to realize that God's forgiveness is greater than any sin we've committed. Any sin we've committed, God's forgiveness is greater. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. God's grace is greater than all of our mistakes. God's grace is more powerful than anything we can do. Paul says this, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you would not be justified by the law of Moses." In other words, the law of Moses could not excuse your guilt. It could not put away your sin. But by the grace of God, he has removed all of our guilt. He has removed all of our sin. He has removed every mistake we made. We are clean, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and prepared for heaven.
Amen.
God can do that in your life if you'll just let him. Listen, my friend. The third thing they do, they stress for performance instead of promise. Let me give you a few promises from Scripture and then give you the legalist response. I'm not even saying that the response I'm going to give you are all wrong, but notice that the legalist cannot focus on the promise itself. The performance factor always clouds their vision. This is the first promise. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." The legalist says this, "But they also have to remain faithful unto death." That's what the legalists say. They also must remain faithful. Jesus said, "I've saved you by grace. I've saved you from all this shame, all of this penalty, all this guilt that you had in your life." The legalists say, "You've got to live perfect life until you die." None of us are able to live a perfect life. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We've all made mistakes, even after we're a Christian. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We all make mistakes and regret the choices that we make. But God says, "Don't worry about it. My grace covers you. You've been forgiven. I'm with you every step of the way." The legalist says, "No, you got to live perfect your whole life to be saved." That, my friend, is not true. Here's the promise Paul gave. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The typical legalist response is this: "But God also expects us to do good works." Works can never save a person. The legalists say you've got to do good works in order to be saved. You've got to do good works in order to be accepted by God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through your faith." It has nothing to do with works. Listen, verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." It does not have anything to do with your works. You may not be capable of working for God. You may be disabled. You may be in a wheelchair. You may have physical ailment that keeps you from working. Does that keep God from saving you? No. It's by grace God saves you, through your faith. It has nothing to do with your works. The legalist says you must work in order to be saved. This is another promise that Jesus made. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which gave them unto me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The typical legalist response is this: maybe no one else can take us out of God's hand, but we can choose to leave God. Let me ask you a question. Did you do anything to be saved? No. It's by God's grace you're saved. That means you cannot do anything to lose your salvation. God is holding you in His hand. My sheep hear my voice, and they cling to me. They follow me. They do everything I ask them to do. But if they falter, if they fail, if they lose their way, I still love them. I still accept them back. I still welcome them back into the fold. Listen, my friend, no one is ever able to pluck us out of God's hand. Do you see the problem here? The legalists cannot see the promise. They are always focused on performance. In these three passages alone, God clearly promises His eternal life, salvation by grace through faith, and security in our relationship with Him. But the legalists have trouble accepting the promises of God at face value and always feel the need to throw in some qualifiers. Why is that? Because the legalist has not yet accepted the fact that their salvation rests not in their level of performance, but in the integrity of God's promise. Now, I have no way of knowing how much you have been influenced by legalism in the past, but I'm sure all of us have been at some level. As a result of legalism, influence is always the same, a loss of joy. Let's take the remainder of our time together and learn how to get the joy of grace back in our lives. Joy regained. The third thing we're going to look at. Look in verses 18 through 20. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Listen, this is what we must do to regain our joy. Accept your standing in Christ. When I know who I am in Christ, I cannot help but experience that joy that God has given me. When I know my standing, when I know I'm eternally secure, when I know that no matter what I do after I'm saved, I'm still accepted by God. Listen, my friend, we all sin. We don't stop sinning because we got saved. This carnal body that we live in lusts towards envy. It lusts to sin. We're going to be tempted to sin by Satan. As long as we live in this world, we're going to have to deal with Satan, his temptations, his lies, and everything he tries to lead us away from God. Satan is always seeking whom he may devour. He's always going about as a roaring lion, seeking what Christian he can drag into legalism, what Christian he can drag into sin, what Christian he can take away from God. Satan is our enemy. I want you to realize that. He's not your friend. He's not your cohort. He's not your best friend that you follow. He is your enemy. He is your mortal enemy. He is your spiritual enemy. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the devil seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. That's his mission.
Amen.
He's here to kill your testimony, to steal your joy, and to ruin your testimony. That's what his mission is. He is trying every way he can to drag you back into sin. But we must not allow him to do that. I might have bad days or weeks or times of stress or turmoil, even the loss of my wife earlier this year. But when I know that I'm accepted by Jesus Christ, it is impossible to take my joy away. What does the Bible say about our standing in Christ? I don't have time to quote all the scripture text, so I'll just summarize. John 1:12 says, I'm a child of God. Romans 5:1 says, I've been made right with God. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, I'm one with the Lord in spirit. Colossians 1:13 and 14 say, I've been redeemed and all of my sins have been forgiven. Colossians 2:9 and 10 says, I'm made complete in Christ. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, I have direct access to the throne of grace through Christ. Romans 8:1 and 2 says, I'm free from condemnation. 2 Corinthians 1:22 and 21 and 22 says, I've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, I am God's temple. Philippians 3:20 says, I am a citizen of heaven. Ephesians 2:6 says, I'm sealed with Christ in the heavenly realm. Now we could go on and on, keeping looking at all the promises of God that come to us because of our relationship in Christ. And the more we look and study and believe these promises concerning our standing in Christ, the more we will experience the joy that Christ wants us to have. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to realize you're sealed until the day of redemption. He wants you to realize you're his child and you can never be plucked out of his hand. He wants you to realize that God is always watching over you, and he sees that blood of Christ applied to your life, and there's no condemnation in our lives. The second way is to get our joy back is to allow Christ to transform you. We will grow in joy as we grow towards Christ. Our goal in life is to become as much like Jesus Christ as we possibly can. Do you do that to earn your salvation? No. We do that because we are already saved. Verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul wanted them to have Christ formed in them. He wanted them to experience that joy that they once had, but they had lost that joy. That joy that was so prevalent in their life, they had let the legalists come in and steal that joy. I don't want you, for anyone here this morning, to let anyone steal your joy. Tell them you're a child of God. Tell them you know what your standing is in God. Tell them you are being transformed by the Word of God. Our goal in life is to become more like Jesus. Listen, what's Paul saying? That our transformation is now not an overnight deal. It is a process that will take the rest of our lives. Each time we take a step forward in spiritual maturity and growth is another step that results in more joy in our lives. Rather than focus on the legalist, what the legalist says and does, on how far we fall short, we are focusing on the step just ahead. Rather than whining about how little distance we've traveled, we're celebrating the journey up ahead. The ultimate joy is experienced when we know that we are moving in the direction God wants us to move, transforming our minds into the mind of Christ. God wants you to have this joy. He wants you to realize that He knows you were made from dust. The Bible says God remembers our frame. He knows we were made from dust. He knows we're weak. He knows we'll falter. He knows we'll fall. Why do you think He sent Jesus to die on the cross? Because He knew we could not win our own salvation. He knew we could not live good enough to be redeemed by God. Listen, my friend. Thirdly, share Christ with everyone. If you're experiencing the joy of grace, you're not going to be able to keep it all bottled up inside of you. If what you have in Christ is as great as we say it is, and it is, we have a message to tell everyone around us. Unfortunately, many of the unchurched friends get the ideal of what Christianity is all about from some of the legalists we've been talking about. And so they were turned off before they even find out what real Christianity is. That's where you and I come in. We must dedicate ourselves not only to experience the joy of grace, but to share the joy of grace with those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There are a number of ways to do that, but the best way to begin is to show the joy you have in the way you live your life, then share your joy with the people around you. It's really as simple as that. Show them that you're joyful in being a Christian. In conclusion, I would like to bring you a tremendous amount of joy when you begin sharing with those who are caught up in legalism and see your face is light up as they realize the gift of God's grace. It's a wonderful thing to see the transformation that takes place in a person's life when they realize once and for all that Jesus did it all so we don't have to. The legalist are all about what we can do for God to help our salvation. Christ said, you don't have to do anything, but come to the altar, kneel and pray, and accept me. Accept my death on the cross. Accept that I'm God's Son. Accept that I've paid your sin debt. We don't have to do anything. Listen, my friend, the legalists will try to tell you you've got to do everything. You've got to help God along. You've got to help Him get you to heaven. You don't have to do anything except give your heart to Christ. Give your heart to Him. He'll take care of the rest of it. He'll give you the Holy Spirit in your life to help you become more like Jesus. He didn't leave you alone. He gave you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you to help you find righteousness and to help you live more holy. The Bible says He's there to help us live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that, my friend, is what the Holy Spirit's mission is. To help Christians know they are living the Christian life and to convict them when they do wrong. That is the Holy Spirit's mission in this life. And we should accept that. We should accept the fact that God did not leave us here to struggle alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to correct us when we do wrong and to bless us when we do good. Yeah. That, my friend, we need to understand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we had to come to bring your word this morning. We pray, Father, that the story of these Galatians that lost their joy will help us to understand how we can avoid the pitfalls of legalism and try to be the Christian you would have us to be. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be saved by grace, that we did not have to work for it. We did not have to struggle. But your grace saved us from our sins, and your grace is able to sustain us until that day of redemption. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.